It's 5 after. Jake's usually a bit late anyway, so.
It's 10 after 9, we're going to call this meeting order. In a roll call.
Sexton. Cagle. Carter.
Here.
Fava. Hugh.
Present.
Solar.
Here.
Coward.
Present. Need approval of the agenda.
So move, Carter.
Second.
Any discussion has been moved and approved. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Need approval of the minutes for the previous meetings of September 5th, 2025.
I'll move, Solar.
Second, Pugh.
Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Do we have public participation?
No.
Okay, we've got a presentation from an outside entity, which is CCOT.
Yeah, that's us. Good morning. Everyone's doing well. So we've got our fiscal year 2025 annual report for CCOT.
Got this over here.
Yeah.
Yep.
Let's see if I'm.
You can undo that.
Yeah.
That'll stretch pretty far.
There we go. Thank you so much. We're good.
Maybe not.
Okay.
Let's just do this. Yeah, happy Friday. So this is our fiscal year. We go through July until the June, so it's a summer fiscal year. And we've got two different types of services in CCOT. We've got our demand response service as well as our fixed route service. The fixed route service is our Eagle Express, and that is three routes within Rantoul. We also have our Rantoul connector, and that connects Champaign-Urbana to Rantoul. And those vehicles operate between 5 and 8 a.m. and then 3 and 6 p.m. Monday through Friday, while our on-demand service is throughout the day. So now our vehicle inventory is a lot more stable than it was last year. So we've got 12 medium duty, 14 passenger buses, and the average vehicle life is about, or the vehicle age right now is about 6.5 years. That's as long as we've been keeping them in service.
How many new ones did you get in? There we are.
This year, after, 6 years of waiting since 2019, we finally got our 5339B grant, which is a federal bus grant in particular. And we were awarded four buses, three replacements and one expansion. We're already needing to expand too. And then we also got our three replacement buses finally from the consolidated vehicle procurement through IDOT, where they purchased them all in bulk. So thankfully we got those CVP vehicles in service in May, and we got the 5339B vehicles in service in August. And now if you see CCOT vehicles on the road, more likely it's going to be one of these nicer ones. So that's been a big help.
Yes.
We do have three grants still pending. So we've got our rebuild grants. I'm currently working with our consolidated vehicle procurement officer with IDOT to try and figure out just the proper procedure to go about getting these vehicles. There's been kind of a lack of communication towards us, just needing to grow my own knowledge of how to do the proper. I'm trying to determine if we need to be doing our own procurement of the vehicles or if we're able to sign on to another contract. So that's kind of where we're trying to figure out that system right now. As well as we have a low no emission grant vehicles, one replacement electric bus and a vehicle charger. I have not heard any updates about the status of that grant. For right now, honestly, I have been anticipating not receiving it. We'll see how everything shakes out in the next couple months. I have not heard that we've lost the grant funding, but I've also not heard any updates about it. So that's kind of where we are with that. But this year we were able to put 6 replacement and 1 expansion vehicle in service. So we flipped them real fast. We were able to, yeah. Thankfully, shout out to the MTV maintenance team. They were able to, like, usually how many months? It usually takes like 3 months to be able to wrap the vehicle, get them in service, change the cameras over, put radios in it. They were able to do it in like a month. It was very impressive. So that was awesome. So yeah, we do have 1 service contract with C-Carts. It is with the Village of Rantoul. It has been established in September 2016. This is our deviated fixed route service. Those are the 3 routes within those Village of Rantoul. And back in 2024, we established a 3-year contract. So we're still on that current plan. We will be having a conversation of just the different, if we want to see the service change at all, that'll be next year. So stay tuned to hear about updates for that. So these are our ridership characteristics from this last fiscal year. We see like a downturn in those medical, personal, shopping, social, but we did see a large uptick in education, which is really interesting. We do have an individual, well, we used to have an individual from Parkland, and I feel like that was a really great relationship that we were able to try and promote people using the service more from that, as well as a lot of employment trips. I believe that's coming from mostly Rantoul. A lot of people use it for that just because their shifts are so early in the morning at those factories. So that was good to see. And we've also seen an uptick in our Lyft use. We like to say that's just seeing that our service is being used by the people who need it. And so that's always incredible to see an uptick of that. And then this is our system-wide service. So the previous one was just for demand response. This includes our demand response trips. So we had about 9,000 demand response trips this last year and about 15,000 fixed route trips last year. So we are pretty stable in comparison to last year. Only had a 1% decrease. It looks like our trip denials increased, but I will give Sarah her round of applause right now because we've had those decrease significantly since she's joined our team. We had a big team shift whenever Sarah joined back in March, April. We had our dispatchers. How long is they were there for like a long time, since the service began. Since the service began, they had been a part of our team, and they were very, very, you know, used to the way that they were dispatching and keeping track of everything. And now we have a new team that is a lot more proactive about trying to meet our passengers' needs
and understanding the data and streamlining the process from paper Excel sheets to making sure we're using the software and optimizing that as much as possible.
So that's been it has an uptick of trip denials, but I would like to say this second half of the year it's gone down. It's been a lot more manageable. So this is a breakdown of our grant funding from this last year. It's pretty similar to the previous years. We are still leaving about $220,000 on the table just from not reaching the match requirements of the Downstate Operating Assistance Program. So that is also something we are still working on, trying to find that additional funding in the community so we can pull down from that funding. That's currently where the money is. I am happier to see last year was about $300,000 we left on the table. This year it's down $100,000, which I would like to think is a good thing. That means I feel like we have a lot more capacity than we did last year. Just a breakdown of everything. Still having a good income from the service contract, and the project income is, if when you're seeing that is our fares. That's the amount of money that we're getting directly from passengers. From our fare service, And we also conducted a ridership survey this last year. So we were able to collect 13 responses over 3 days. That does not sound like a lot, but it was a lot. And so we did 3 different trips, 1 the evening and on the connector and direct routes, 1 on-demand service during the day, and then 1 morning direct route service. And 100% of the respondents were very positive about they would benefit from additional C-card service in their community, and 100% of respondents would are riding the service more than once a week. Most of the time, it's
habit.
Oh, here we go. How often do you use C-card service? Majority of the respondents use it more than 2 to 3 days a week, which was really, I thought that was a good thing. A lot of people that I talk to use it consistently to get to work in the morning, consistently to return from work. So that's kind of the way we had the Rantoul service set up, was that morning 5 a.m. till 8 a.m. shift, and then we have that 3 to 6. So it's good to know that the service that we put in place is being used for that. And then we do continually getting requests for weekends and evening service, and that's, we're trying. Yeah, so this is just a breakdown of the usability and satisfaction C-Cart service. A lot of, we got plenty of responses saying very satisfied and satisfied, seeing that the service is being used well. This is something I think is really interesting. How would you make this trip without C-Carts? A lot of people are dependent on, you know, either people in their community or family to drive from places, and that can be a lot of strain on them to try and organize that and do different things like that. And so I'm glad to see that C-Carts is being used again by people who need it, who have to depend on others to get where they're going. Or they would not make the trip, which is also something we don't want to have. And then the main obstacle people had from preventing to use the service more is the system hours and operations. That was something that I was learning a lot about, yeah, when I was riding along, is that even Rantoul Foods, they start earlier than what time we're currently operating at. Yeah. Which is so early. It's our,
what time did the driver start?
Pick up at 5 a.m.
Yeah.
We pick up here at 4:30 and then pick up at 5.
Yeah, yeah. And I was hearing that it's whenever people are dropped off, they get there and their time to put on their like personal protection equipment eats into the time that they're supposed to do that before they start their clock. And that's like eating into their time. And that was like a restraint on people. As well as like, I had a lot of people who work on the Saturdays. So that was something I would like to look into, is trying to get that Saturday service.
You say like, did they say like 15, 30 minutes or?
Honestly, I think it was, yeah, maybe 15. And so I'm like, yeah, that's something we can talk about whenever we're doing that thing.
I think that'd be beneficial.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, these are just our main takeaways from this last fiscal year. We did have an operating vehicle shortage through the beginning of the fiscal year back in June, or not June, July through like December. And once we were notified of the awarded vehicles being processed, that was about February, we were able to start really making moves. And that's around the time Sarah was added to our team too, and that's been great. We had a ridership level similar to last fiscal year. We did see an increase of those employment and education trips. We are hoping to implement a better preventative vehicle mileage distribution on the vehicles. Just due to getting these new vehicles, wow, I love driving the new vehicles around so much. And then we have these old vehicles that are sitting there also being kind of like worn away, while the new vehicles are just like quickly just
getting miles.
Yeah, quickly getting miles, quickly. It just worries us just how everything kind of played out just through the delays of the last year. We're trying to be more preventative about how we have these new vehicles on our fleet.
Yeah,
so our focus this year is maintaining the service and staff levels. I feel a lot more confident this year. And hopefully receiving those replacement vehicles from our rebuild grants. And we are investigating additional funding opportunities. So something that I believe I spoke to you all last year about as well, but we were exploring the possibility of offering Medicaid-sponsored trips. That is something, now that we have Sarah on our team, that we have a lot more capacity to be exploring. We had a meeting yesterday kind of to discuss just where we're moving on that process. I'm currently working with some staff at RPC. We have to apply for an impact score. And so that's kind of where we're at, trying to get that started. And so in the past, Medicaid was not a very efficient system. It took probably about 3 to 6 months for the service to get reimbursed from offering And it was not sustainable the way they were paying for those trips. Now we are getting like mileage reimbursement along with this, just the trip cost. And so a lot of the services are seeing it as a much more sustainable way for us. And we can use the funding that we get from offering those Medicaid trips for our DOPE match. And so that's a big draw for us to try and pursue this as well.
And I also want to note that the older process with Medicaid, you really needed to hire a whole new person for billing because there's so many hands-on. And now with the technology and the updates, it's just like a couple button clicks for our schedulers. And so now we're getting payments, we're seeing people get payments within 1 to 3 weeks instead of 3 to 6 months. So it's a whole different ballgame.
Which is fun.
So we feel pretty confident in being able to make this happen.
Yeah, and now that we have our new dispatch team too, they are very eager to learn new skills, very eager to add that to our service, and that's been awesome. As well as looking for new service contracts, now that we have these new vehicles, that was a big thing that was holding us back from reaching out to different villages in the county about the possibility of offering something like Ranch Tool has. Is that we didn't have the vehicles to offer it. We didn't have the staff to offer it. And honestly, we are kind of just now getting to like a safe level with everything, offering everything that we should be. And so as we're able to add on those vehicles from Rebuild, I hope that that's gonna give us that capacity to add on additional service contracts. In particular, I would love this. Mahomet is very active in trying to see something happen. As well as St. Joe, I speak a lot with the seniors in St. Joe, and they are very eager to try and work something out as well. In my mind, I would love to see like kind of maybe a combined kind of contract with them because of one of the things that have held them back is just the funding needed to offer it. So maybe if we come together to try and meet them where they are.
St. Joe Mahomet connector. We have so many writers from Mahomet and St. Joe. Just consistently writing multiple times a week, same times, same doctor's appointments, same work, stuff like that.
Stay tuned. Hopefully, we'll have an update for that next year as well.
I believe
that's all I have for you guys. Any questions you all have about the service?
You kind of was getting to one of them there about the additional opportunities for service contracts. Just maybe something like an IGA between Mahomet, Rantoul, and St. Joe would be a goal. The other question I had was looking at the denials, what sorts of reasons would a ride be denied, and maybe what's the most common?
The most common, and probably I'd say 95% of the time, is we just don't have the availability.
Like somebody's already called and they have a scheduled appointment at that time.
So we're just booked up. We're at capacity. We have 48 hours out, and we're definitely booked 48 hours out. Sometimes we can squeeze somebody in if they really need something, make it happen. If people are calling about a week out, we're more likely to get them. But we're booking more and more out. So we had about 20 new customers per month. So we're steadily growing, but we just, with the vehicles and the drivers that we have, we're really trying to squeeze people in and make it happen.
I also know sometimes people will call and have a series of appointments that they want to schedule with us, and say that's like 6 appointments over 2 months or something like that. If we deny all of those, it will add that number of 6 denials. It's not just one denial.
Sure.
We're denying all of those.
And something else that this team has started doing, and they're very forward-thinking and tech-savvy, is they've created spreadsheets. So they keep a list of the denials, and then the day before, they'll look at who got denied for the next day, and they'll give them a call if we've had cancellations or openings. So that's another reason we were able to get the denials down a little bit, is we're seating, 1 or 2 people, the next day who originally got denied because of cancellations. So we're going to see them.
Some of the churches asked me, your old buses, when you get rid of them, what do you do with them?
Oh, that is a me problem I'm dealing with right now. So we have to go through the IDOT's disposition process. So since they're IDOT funded vehicles, they have title, I have to send them back to them.
I know if I go back to the state, it's surplus, they auction them off.
Exactly.
I do that at the university already, so I figured it was probably the same process. They asked me to ask.
No, and I have questions that I am also the coordinator for the Human Services Transportation Plan for a big region. And a lot of the providers are like, I just see buses sitting around. Like, why can I not just go and, you know, churches have sometimes have an excess of vehicles that they're not using anymore and things like that. But it's you know, it's a lot of hoops that we have to jump through whenever we're getting IDOT funding. So, yeah, I have to... So we have, when we get these seven new vehicles, I have seven vehicles I need to get rid of. And I'm working with the section chief disposition, Jeff Waxman, to try and get those going. But he's been very frank with me that we are not the only service that also has seven buses we're trying to get rid of right now, because everyone's just got this new round. So yeah, if you drive by the MTD and you see some C-Cart vehicles sitting there, I'm working on it.
No, you're fine. Yeah.
Yeah.
It has to go back basically to the state. They actually auction them off and all. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that's what they do. I know another thing is that, like, whenever we give them back to the state, they'll, like, sometimes part it out. And, like, if a service is needing a lift, they'll take the lift out of it and give it to them.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Kind of thing. So they do use them until they can't. But it is like a law. It just takes a while. That's what that was.
Yeah, I mean, when's it been a few?
Oh, it was funny. We have this vehicle, C68. It started with five other people before me. That's how many people it had to, like, started with Zoe, and now Zoe works at IDOT. So it's a long process. Me and Josh have been knocking on his door to try and get the go through. But yeah.
I have a question.
Yeah.
You say you take Medicaid. Sponsored rides. What about Medicare? Because it's a lot of people that have Medicare, but not Medicaid.
Mm-hmm. I believe those are... go ahead.
So what I understand is that they can use Medicaid to pay for their transportation trips. If they have Medicare, then they can use Medicaid as a secondary for those transportation trips. So from what I understand is Medicare doesn't pay for those transportation trips.
Interesting. You said they don't pay for it?
The transportation trips.
Unless they have an outside.
Unless they have the outside insurance, like Medicaid, as a secondary.
Yeah.
So you got to have both?
Yes.
You got to have Medicaid and Medicare.
The Medicaid is the anchor at that point in time. Yeah.
Medicaid is the one that provides that service.
Yeah, the income guidelines for Medicaid, and then Medicare is just for older adults, right? Am I doing it wrong? I have a political science degree. I'd hope I would get that one.
Yeah,
I have
to look at it more.
Yeah.
I just got one question.
Yeah.
I was inquiring about the emergency rides. I was telling you about the issue that we had with my mom being amputated, and my sister was on her last days at Carl, and we had a hard time trying to get her a ride up there because none of our vehicles were big enough to transfer her and, you know, her electric wheelchair as well. So I would like to see somehow, some way, if you guys can implement that, because I know our family wasn't the only one that was enduring that at that time. And, like, you can't call anybody. You know, there is nowhere in Champaign that does, like, vehicle transportation with the motorized wheelchairs.
Yeah.
So it's a last-minute emergency,
right?
Is what you're saying.
Because everything is 48 hours in advance. You know, she already utilizes the C card. You know, when she goes and gets.
Yeah.
But
so the same day.
Huh.
Same day.
Yeah. Like an emergency same day like ride would be beneficial, I think, to community members, and also. I have a lot of clients in Rantoul, and some are without transportation, but they work at Craft. Or they work at Carl.
That's your point. Yeah.
And I see your hours, you know, is kind of short, ending at 6 p.m., and some of them work until 11 p.m., you know.
Yeah.
So I would like to see if you guys could, too, also extend those hours. I think that would be beneficial to the community as well.
Yeah, yeah.
And on Saturdays.
Yeah, no, and truly, it's, you know, if we can find those community funding sources, that's kind of what I would be able to see us doing, because just right now it's just the capacity of just what we're funding at.
Right.
And it is interesting. A lot of the drivers really like the current schedule, and so that'll also be like a thing if we're implementing longer shifts and weekends. I think we'll probably get some pushback about that just from, you know, staffing. But it is something that I'm hearing a lot about. They people working at the factories in Rantoul, they get off on Saturdays.
And you're saying Saturdays too, some of the factory workers are working.
Work mm-hmm, Saturdays.
For sure. Mm-hmm. And I'm hearing, like, personally, I'm a big believer in, like, having those late buses, and that it's as important as the early buses.
Right.
And it's just difficult for us to keep them on the road that long, just with the finances of everything. There is, if everyone wants to send some, you know, power to the Illinois Public Transportation Association, that's our, you know, our larger lobbying kind of organization for us with the State House. Right now, our downstate operating assistance program reimburses 65% of operating expenses. So that's a main form of our funding. IPTA is working to try and have that increase to 80%. And honestly, that would be a lot more sustainable for us. That would be what I think would be the best thing in the long run. But we'll have to see how that plays out just with everything.
So who we need to contact?
It would be our state reps.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I believe so. Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
No, yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, well, that's good insight.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad to hear that, yeah, your family members use the service. Everyone can use service. People often, like, forget it's not just for, you know, medical or elderly individuals who need the lift or anything. Like, anybody can use it. If you have, like, a social event you need to go to or go shopping. Yeah. Any other questions from you all? Awesome. Well, thank you so much. Yeah, it's been a good year. I'm feeling a lot more confident with the current team that we have than in previous years. So that's fun.
That's good.
Yeah, they're really excited to just continue to grow it, and they find a lot of purpose in helping the customers.
Yeah.
So the operators and the dispatchers. So we have a great team.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Thank you guys.
Thank you guys.
Mm-hmm. And then I believe we need to have a vote.
We do.
Yeah.
Okay, I need a motion.
Oh, communications.
Yeah, the vote will be 7B. Let me get there first.
Okay, well, we'll continue.
Second.
We're moving it yet.
We're gonna wait until we get there.
We're not on 7B yet. We're still on communications.
Any communication from the committee? Seeing that, we'll go into new business. The county and the township motor fuel tax claim for September 2025.
Okay.
I'll move.
Second, Carter.
So for discussion.
I got a question.
Okay.
So I'm looking into the reparations committee, and I want to see, like, how can I say this? So I don't know if you guys have heard, but there are people talking about reparations in our community, and we're trying to see where the funds would come from. And so at one of the meetings, I heard that it was the, was it the sales tax, motor fuel tax? Also, they mentioned the cannabis tax. So I mentioned at one of the county board meetings, like, we don't have a specific number of what the taxes are from the cannabis sales. Is that correct? Or do you guys have that? Would you guys have that?
Do we get? I don't know if we get a piece of that.
We are supposed to get a piece of it. I think it's the county and the city, right? Am I wrong? Somebody correct me if I'm wrong. But that's what I'm looking into.
From that, I know that they pay half of the county engineer's salary.
The motor fuel tax.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm just doing some inquiries, basically, just trying to see, because I do definitely believe in their fight and their cause of reparations. I do believe that every black family has been affected by slavery and redlining also. And I would like to see how could we help in any way that we can help with that cause. So that's what I'm going to be inquiring about as their meetings continue in our community. So I'll also talk with Jeff.
Yeah. Brian Jeff's the person. Yeah.
I remember he said he wasn't going to be at this meeting, and they said, or they just had another reparations meeting. So I'll be able to follow up once he gets back. Thank you.
Promise with their meetings is the same time as a full board meeting for us.
Right. And that's why I haven't been able to make it, but I've still been able to be in communication with people that are attending those meetings to be kind of up to speed.
Any more communication? Okay, all in favor? We're doing a county township motor fuel tax claim. So any more communication? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Okay, reviewing the approval of the CTOS annual service report for fiscal year 2025.
So moved. Carter?
I'll second it. For a few.
It's been moved and seconded. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Okay, well, let's just take it from here.
Okay. So on page 9, we have the resolution appropriating $200,000 from the county bridge funds for the repair and lengthening of multiple concrete culverts on County Road 6 with the section number there. You can see in your packet the location map. There are 7 culverts that need to be extended for future shoulder widening operations that we hope to do next construction season. So each of these culverts would be extended about 5 feet on both sides of the roadway. And we're asking for the appropriation for that work.
So moved. Carter?
Second queue.
Open for discussion.
I will say it's always neat to see on these maps when Wilbur Heights shows up with all like 6 blocks of it.
Yeah. I always love how that's one of the dot points on our maps.
I don't know.
Is this the amount of the work, 67,000?
That's for the next one.
That's for the next one.
Yeah. Yeah, there's the map of the culvert, so it's $200,000 is what we're requesting for the appropriation for the culverts.
Okay, any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed?
Okay, and D there is the resolution appropriating $67,335 from County Bridge Funds for the repair of structure 010-4552 on County Road 55 in Maplewood Drive. This is an emergency repair that is needed on the railing on the bridge. There was an accident there where he struck the guardrail, kind of flipped a vehicle, burned out some things, and so a lot of the guardrail was twisted and compromised. It is an emergency repair due to the health and safety of the traveling public. So we went ahead and initiated getting quotes to do the repair work. We did have 2 quoters, I guess, this time around. I don't know what page that is on, actually. So Stark, their quote, I guess page 17, has the 2 quotes that we received. Stark Construction, their quote was for $67,335, and William Charles was for $90,000 for the repair. So Jeff has awarded that to Stark Construction. They have, I believe, already ordered the rail for that. It's usually like a 4-week lead time to get that rail in, at least, if not 6 weeks. So they're, right now we're just monitoring, making sure our barrels are in place, and taking a look at that until that rail can get repaired. The rest of the paperwork there does show and document our site visits and our emergency process that we went through. So I'm not necessarily going to go over all of that unless you would like me to. So it does contain a few pictures and stuff later on, so you can see some of the twists and turns of that rail.
It's pretty expensive.
It's extremely expensive. There was some spalling and some pulling out of the concrete on the superstructure, so that does increase some cost as well.
I'll move the resolution.
Second to you.
Okay, it's open for discussion.
So is the motorist going to be charged restitution?
We do have an accident report from the accident. We have made a claim to the insurance that has been there. They have said there's been multiple other claims also made against the policy. And so we're in line. We have attempted to put all of it before them, and at this point we're waiting. They want us to have a final bill, so until Stark is complete, we don't have the final bill to provide them, so we've given them the quotes and all of the documentation you see to, I guess, hold our place, essentially, for that claim.
Well, I'm going to be voting no against Stark. I don't care for the flying of the flags at the work site, so that's where I stand on that. And when I went and spoke with one of the workers there, he was very arrogant. Right now, the flag is being used to terrorize people, and I don't think that any work that they do should have the flag hanging. Well, it's a union thing, understood. But right now, people are being very insensitive, and I see the flags in our neighborhood, and some of my constituents are also Latinas. And I don't care for them, so I'll be voting I'll vote no every time I see one of their contracts come through, and that's my own personal reason.
Which flag?
The American flag.
Oh, yeah.
Any more discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Anyone opposed?
Nay.
I'm going to go along with Matt. So, Matt, I'm going to vote nay. So, the ayes win it. 3-2.
There's only four of us here.
It's 2-2.
Yeah, I think it's 2-2.
2-2.
Yeah.
Okay. Is the end of the business?
Well, I guess, so what does that mean for repairing what we must have repaired for public health and safety
on our traveling? I think we should go with someone else instead of always choosing Stark.
That you can go on with the repairs because it's...
Because of an emergency purchasing policy.
It was 3-2.
It's 2-2.
It's 2-2.
The resolution didn't pass with a 2-2 vote, so unless anyone's going to change it, the resolution hasn't been approved. If the emergency policy allows proceeding, I'm not familiar with it.
He did include it on page 12 for emergency purchase for the highway department.
It's 2-2. There's only four of us here.
It's 2-3.
2-2.
2-2.
Only us voting.
Yeah, just you four.
Oh, okay then.
I don't think Liam's got a vote over there.
And I didn't hear was a no.
Was a no. Correct. Yes. Yes, correct.
Maybe put it on the next agenda when there's more people, but I'm going to stand on that because I didn't care for the interaction that I had with that company.
Irresponsible to leave a bridge unrepaired for an extra month. I understand the concern. I really do, and I used to feel the same way, and I can talk with you about that, about how I thought about it differently eventually.
Yeah.
But that means people driving on it. It's got to get repaired.
Yeah.
We're going to open ourselves up to liability when there's another crash and people get killed.
Well, they're not only liable. The motorist that did the accident is also liable as well. So it's not just all on us.
I know, but that still means someone has gotten injured or killed first.
Yeah. So can we move on?
So I guess I need clarity. Does this then go on to just the county board? Can it then just be put on the agenda for the county board?
It should be on the agenda for the county board. It did not get a favorable vote out of committee, but it can go to the county board.
But it should just be then on this agenda.
On the regular agenda.
Not on the consent or not on the highway committee, but it can go on to the county board.
Right.
Okay, do you have anything else?
I do not.
Okay, we'll go to other business. The presiding officer has no report. Designated items placed on the consent agenda would be 7, A, B, C.
Yep.
And I gotta run. I gotta go.
Okay.
Yep, I'm sorry.
What's adjournment?
For the committee?
I gotta go to work.
If not, we're done.
Okay.
All right.
We good? I'm sorry.
I'm gonna help her, then I'll come back to you, Lorraine. Is she out there already?
She should be out there.
You on the side?
Thank you.